produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, artists, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. Visit www.redaphid.com. It's Tuesday, April 22nd, and it's 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. We here in Normal would like to remind you to get involved at the grassroots level and help to support the end of adult marijuana prohibition. This is an exciting time, as we have two bills before the Congress, H.R. 5842 and H.R. 5843. These bills would end the DEA raids in the medical marijuana states and would legalize the personal possession of up to 3.5 ounces of pot. So get on the phone and call your Congress at 202-224-3121. It's really easy. They're just going to ask for your zip code, and they'll put you in touch with your elected representative. It still is a government of we the people, but you have to step up and do your part. Now, Tuesday is Government at Work Day on the podcast, so coming up after the news, we're going to speak with Minnesota State Senator Steve Murphy, the chief author of the medical marijuana legislation currently working through the Minnesota legislature. After that, I've got an instrumental break for you. Cannabis Carrie found us some jazz from Scott Newman in Osage County. So blow some muggles and enjoy Mayor of Smoke, you dig hep cat? And of course, today is the DVD release of the new pachimentary, Totally Baked. I have some exclusive audio from the movie that combines stand-up comedy and sketch comedy, along with real interviews and marijuana prohibition facts. You really need to get this video, and you can do so by going online to totallybakedmovie.com. And as a special treat for Normal supporters, you can enter the word HI as a promo code and get 25% off the cost of the DVD. Salient Media is donating 10% of the proceeds to Normal, so you can laugh and learn and support marijuana law reform all at once. Along with the bonus audio, I'm replaying my interview with writer-producer-actor Craig Shoemaker, who never mentions it in the interview, but he does a wicked Don Knotts Barney Fife impersonation. Craig plays a character that you can only see if you're high, and, well, my friends and I all saw him immediately when we watched it at our 420 party. I'm telling you, this is a really good movie. I'm not saying that just because they're donating money to Normal, but it's destined to be one of those classic stoner comedies. I highly recommend it, and high recommendations don't come much higher than Oregon. So sit back and relax with your favorite strain. This is your Normal Daily Audio Stash. Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Boat loaded with marijuana washes ashore off San Diego. An 18-foot boat loaded with marijuana has washed into the rocks along the shore in San Diego's Sunset Cliffs area. Immigration and Customs Enforcement spokeswoman Lauren Mack says the boat was already abandoned when authorities responding to a distress call found it Monday morning. Mack says the damaged craft capsized and sank before it could be hoisted off the rocks. And in related news, scuba shops in the Southern California area are reporting a massive increase in sales to stoners looking to take up scuba diving. Oh, but seriously. Once again, you can see the great lengths people will go to in a prohibitionist world to get their marijuana. Boats, trains, trucks, buses, even submarines are being used to bring drugs into America. Let us grow our own, and we'll never have to waste another Coast Guard minute responding to shipwrecked ganja boats. Men convicted in Saskatchewan's biggest ever grow op receive sentences. Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Convicted in Saskatchewan's largest marijuana grow-op bust, three men headed off to prison Monday, chanting songs and professing their innocence, despite a judge rejecting their claims that the Creator made them do it. Lawrence Hubert Agakote said, quote, "It's an injustice. This should never have happened," as he left Regina's Court of Queen's bench to serve a 6-year sentence. The 52-year-old Regina man, who conceived of and managed the operation, has already filed an appeal. Chester Fernand Girard, the Ontario gardener who provided the know-how, seeds, and seed money to grow the 6,000 plants, was equally defiant. Quote, "It's industrial hemp. It's the only thing that can save the planet," the 59-year-old shouted. With credit for the equivalent of 6 months of pretrial custody, his sentence was reduced to 5.5 years. Robert Stanley Agakote, Lawrence's 49-year-old brother and follower, was sentenced to 3.5 years after also receiving 6 months credit for pretrial custody. In February, a jury convicted the trio of unlawfully producing marijuana and possession of the drug for the purposes of trafficking. Three other men were acquitted. Justice Frank Guerin soundly rejected Lawrence's testimony that they were growing the plants on sovereign First Nations land, immune from Canada's drug laws, at the request of the Creator, to make medicine for their people. The judge said in his 28-page decision, quote, "When I weigh everything, I have absolutely no doubt that the accused were engaged in the production of a very large amount of marijuana for the express purpose of obtaining a large sum of money," end quote. All three have previous convictions for drug crimes. Girard's lawyer, Drew Hitchcock, hopes the case sparks some thought on reasonable drug policy. Quote, "The judge and the lawyers have to work with the law that Parliament gives, but I don't see how arresting guys who are sitting on the ground praying to the Creator with a SWAT team making arrests is really a sane drug policy," end quote. Lawrence, the only one among the three to testify, always carries a multicolored sacred bundle holding ceremonial pipes into the prisoner's dock. He identifies himself as Chief Kani Kanit, a hereditary ancestral chief of the Anishinaabe Nation of Turtle Island, encompassing all of North America. The elected chief of the Pasqua First Nation, Elaine Chakous, has denounced the grow-op activities. After the sentencing, Lawrence passed his eldest son the sacred bundle. The Agakote's use of culture and religion in their defense has drawn criticism from Pasqua's chief and council, some elders, and the Federation of Saskatchewan Indian Nations. Yeah, well, Canadian and American governments say they recognize the sovereignty of the Native American tribes, but that sovereignty often flies out the window when it comes to hemp. The Lakota Sioux in the Northern Plains have been thwarted by the DEA when they try to grow hemp. Several First Nations people have used cannabis in a culturally significant way or for religious purposes. The Indians were growing hemp on this continent long before the first Europeans ever set foot here. If a tribe can have a casino in a state with no gambling, why can't a tribe have a marijuana farm?
Tuesday is our look at your government at work here at the Audio Stash. While the inevitable re-legalization of cannabis hemp will have to happen at the federal level, the steps leading to that destination take place at the state and municipal levels. We focus in on the initiatives, bills, and amendments regarding cannabis across all 50 states, and what activists like you are doing to enact a positive reform to our cruel and outdated marijuana laws. Body dies, the ego flies, the birds they sing, the creatures learn. It's an honest day's work, yeah, 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 yeah. If you're working hard to make an impact in your city and state, please email us at stash@normal.org and let's share your local efforts with the worldwide cannabis community. Together, we can affect our government at work.
The afternoon pollution rises high into the sky. How can we still deny the truth?
For Government at Work this 420 week, you've got just one assignment, and that's to call your Congress today and tell your representative to support our two pro-marijuana bills in the House. U.S. Congressman Barney Frank, Democrat of Massachusetts, introduced legislation in Congress Friday to strip the federal government of its authority to arrest responsible adult cannabis consumers. The measure, H.R. 5843, known as an Act to Remove Federal Penalties for Personal Use of Marijuana by Responsible Adults, is the first federal decriminalization legislation introduced in 24 years. Frank's pending bill, co-sponsored by presidential candidate Representative Ron Paul, Republican of Texas, seeks to eliminate all federal penalties prohibiting the personal use and possession of up to 100 grams, or 3.5 ounces, of marijuana. Under this measure, adults who consume cannabis would no longer face arrest, prison, or even the threat of a civil fine. The bill also eliminates all penalties for the not-for-profit transfers of up to 1 ounce of pot. All are encouraged to write their representatives in support of this important legislation. You can check the links at our blog at stash.normal.org. Also, Representative Ron Paul, Republican of Texas, introduced H.R. 5842, the Medical Marijuana Patient Protection Act, earlier this week. This bill would make federal authorities respect the state's current laws on medicinal cannabis and end DEA raids on facilities that are distributing medical marijuana legally under state law. Representative Paul, whose presidential campaign prominently featured the ending of the drug war as a platform plank, was joined by Representative Barney Frank, Democrat of Massachusetts, in sponsoring this bill. All Normal supporters are strongly encouraged to write their representatives in favor of this important bill by using our online advocacy system. Links, you can find them at stash.normal.org. Or just call your Congress. The phone number is 202-224-3121. Tell them to support H.R. 5843, the legislation to remove federal penalties for marijuana, and H.R. 5842, the legislation to protect medical marijuana patients.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 12 states today, and THCF has medical clinics in 6 of those states. Our physicians help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help them obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, Colorado, Nevada, Hawaii, and California. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at www.hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Well, here for our Government at Work section today on the Daily Audio Stash, we're speaking with Minnesota State Senator Steve Murphy, who is the chief author of Senate File 345, a medical marijuana bill in the state of Minnesota. Senator Murphy, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
Let's fill people in a little bit on the Minnesota medical marijuana bill. It's somewhat similar to other bills that have been passed across the country, but let's give people just a thumbnail sketch of what we're trying to pass here in Minnesota.
Well, you're correct. This is like legislation in several other states, and we modeled it after those, knowing that there were issues with law enforcement and availability of product, things like that, doctors' notes. But what we want to do here in the state of Minnesota is to make sure that people who want to use this product and have permission from the doctor, not a prescription, just a permission slip, can access medicinal marijuana for, you know, not a plethora of medical reasons, but a very narrow band. And, you know, if people are in intractable pain, they're going through cancer treatments, glaucoma, HIV, things like that, I tell you, you know, my dad passed away here a few years back, and he was on chemo, and he lost a lot of weight, and he was sick, and it might help him if he chose to use it. And once again, this is it's purely optional. People can use it if they want. They don't have to. Doctors don't have to give a permission slip to anybody if they don't want. It's purely allowable.
Now, I saw that the bill passed the state Senate there on a 35-29 vote. What has been the obstacle in trying to get support for this bill? How do you go about convincing your fellow legislators of the need for this bill?
Well, it's pretty easy. You know, every family has a personal experience where, you know, it's either a family member, maybe a distant family member, you know, maybe it's somebody on their street or somebody that they work with. But everybody has had an experience here, and that's how I try to sell it.
Now, I was looking at some of the particulars in the bill. I noticed that the bill allows for 2.5 ounces of prepared cannabis to be possessed by the patient. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then one thing that was different about this bill than I've seen in some of the other bills is that patients won't be allowed to grow their own medicine, but instead they will get it from a registered nonprofit. What was the idea behind putting that in the legislation?
We were trying to, we weren't trying to open up a new market for anybody. But two, we were trying to comply with some of the wishes of our law enforcement here in the state, who have been very vocal opponents. And, you know, we kind of got a law and order state here in Minnesota, and, you know, you have to respect the wishes of law enforcement. So we were just trying to create a, you know, comfort level for them. They still oppose the bill, and that's to be expected, but at least we work with them enough so that most people are reasonably assured that only the people who have a legitimate medical excuse are going to get this through our program.
So this will be the medicine then will be acquired by the patients through a nonprofit sort of dispensary system registered with the state.
That's correct.
And another thing I'd noticed on the bill is that when they acquire their marijuana, you've also built into the law a 15-day limit. Tell us about how that works.
Yeah, well, that was to basically placate some of the more conservative members of the legislature. And we actually picked up a couple of votes by putting that in there. But, you know, you have to understand that we've got a very vocal, yet a very small minority of people who just aren't very forward-thinking. And, you know, so it was strictly put in there to try to help quell some of the, you know, in my opinion, felonious outrage that some of these people had portrayed.
I see.
This is a pretty common sense bill.
Yes.
And if you look at what's happened in other states, there's only one state where law enforcement has a problem with this.
Now, as I look at that whole system there with the registry and these dispensaries, these will be nonprofit organizations registered with the state of Minnesota. Is there any limit to the number of patients that one of these organizations can serve?
No, and we did that knowing that there was probably not going to be a lot of these places opened up around the state. And, you know, because, you know, contrary to what maybe national belief is, we do have a progressive state, but when it comes to issues like this, people kind of play it pretty tight to the vest. You know, we're way out front on some issues like wind energy, gay rights, you know, right on down the line. But, you know, when you talk about this issue of medicinal marijuana, you know, there's still that stigma from, you know, years ago, back when the federal government did their big propaganda back in the 30s and 40s to outlaw marijuana. And, you know, that still rings, you know, that's still on the forefront of a lot of people's minds. You know, I'm 50 years old, you know, and if somebody wants to, you know, break the law and use marijuana, you know, you know, I'm a recovering addict and alcoholic, and, you know, I say big deal. You know, if they want to break the law and use marijuana for whatever reason, that's their own business. You know, it's just, it's not not and shouldn't be, it shouldn't rise to the same level of crime as, say, crystal meth or some of these other things. It's just, it's not the same thing. And years ago, you know, because of this propaganda program that the federal government, you know, forced down the throats of the United States citizens, you know, we've got all these arcane laws that really don't mean anything. And now that we want to introduce a new drug to the toolbox that physicians and families can use, you know, we're told we can't do it because the federal government will find us in non-compliance. I think it's a bunch of horse hockey.
Well, that's really refreshing to hear from an elected official, and we're glad to see that we're making the incremental steps necessary to get to that point where we can have some more common sense laws regarding marijuana here in this country. And just to follow up on a few of the little particulars in the bill, I noticed some interesting things. I read a lot of these bills in preparing this newscast, and I noticed something in here that I hadn't seen in some other bills, which was a statement here that a patient who is testing positive for marijuana metabolites would not mm-hmm. be considered to be under the influence. Is this something Correct. You came up with due to, from input from patients?
You know, that actually, I kind of like invented that a little bit myself, because I know that, you know, the THC level hangs around in the bloodstream for quite a while. And so, you know, I just wanted to make sure that just because somebody's using the product and may get, you know, if they're not directly under the influence, say they were driving to the doctor's office, they hadn't used that day, and they were going to get a chemo treatment, and they got pulled over, and some cop got bent out of shape and decided to send them to the hospital to be tested, and it comes back positive, that it was not, you know, as long as they weren't under the influence and they had their capabilities, you know, that they weren't going to go to jail.
That's a very good provision to have in the law. There's so many medical marijuana states where patients are facing all sorts of discrimination because of their status on a urine test.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. You know, and people sometimes can lose employment. You know, I worked at a nuclear power plant for a lot of years, and that's one thing. I mean, if you get hit for THC or alcohol over a 0.04 level, or any of the other you know, those class drugs, you're done automatically.
Mm-hmm.
You're fired. I mean, there's, and you know, as a union guy, I'm a union guy too. I appreciate that, because we don't want people operating locomotives, airplanes, nuclear power plants that are under the influence.
Right, and like we all know, just the testing.
You know, you don't either. I'm sure your organization doesn't either.
Absolutely not.
You know, we're all working towards the same goal. So.
Yep, and as we all know, testing positive for marijuana metabolites in no way demonstrates impairment, so that's why it's good to see that portion of the law. There was another portion of the law here I thought was interesting, where it said it was listing the places where medical marijuana cannot be used. And, of course, some of the standard things, it can't be used in a public place. But one thing that was interesting is it says it cannot be smoked where a minor could smell it.
Right.
And was this another measure that you came up with to placate some of the people that might be opposing the bill?
Exactly. I mean, they kept throwing instances at us about one thing after another, and you know, finally we closed up the bill and just said, forget it, we're not dealing with it anymore, after we put that provision in there. And we just, you know, kind of power play, we counted the votes, we had enough, so we ran ahead with it. I tell you what, I got to run off to another meeting here. So.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, State Senator Steve Murphy from the state of Minnesota. Thanks for joining us here on The Stash.
Thanks again. Take care.
We've been speaking with State Senator Steve Murphy, who is the chief author of Senate File 345, the medical marijuana bill for the state of Minnesota, that passed on a 35-29 vote out of the state Senate. It's now on its way to the House, House File 655, the companion bill, and if it passes the House, on to Governor Tim Pawlenty's desk, who has promised to veto the bill.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Here at the NORML Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take the time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. Welcome to the Tuesday Musical Break. Today we take a trippy stroll through some instrumental jazz with Scott Newman and Osage County and their hit, Mayor of Smoke. Scott Newman is an Oklahoma native who spends his time burning up the New York jazz scene with his mad drums. He also teaches percussion and jazz ensembles at the Berklee Carroll School in Brooklyn. Scott's band, Osage County, is rounded out by the critically acclaimed members David Berkman, Sam Newsom, and John Falzoni. This is also a jam band born out of the fertile funk of smooth jazz. All hail to the mayor. This is Scott Newman and Osage County with their song, Mayor of Smoke.
Thank you. My name is Jesco Rollins, and my family has owned and operated this farm for last 80 years. Now, there's been a lot of talk in this community about the legalization of marijuana. Now, some folks say it's got thousands of uses, makes sick people feel better, makes stronger fibers for rope, cloth, and paper. Now, marijuana is a profitable crop, even if no part of the plant is used, because it fertilizes the soil, keeps other weeds from growing. And some folks say that if marijuana was legalized and taxed, it'd be a whole lot more money to build better schools and roads that folks around here and others sure could use. Yeah. Legalization of marijuana would be a $24 billion industry right here in the United States alone. It'd save a lot of farms, make a lot of people rich, but not me. Because this is not that kind of farm, and I'm not that kind of farmer. I grow fake pot, just like my daddy and my granddaddy did. For the last 80 years, here on the Rollins farm, we grow Tutti Puff, Warlock Smoke, and some of the finest strains of marijuana substitutes, guaranteed to be 100% legal and not to get you high. It's the life me and my kids were born into. But if real marijuana is legalized, it's going to be the end of this farm and a lot of other farms like it. It's going to be the end of an American way of life. Across this country, I know 35 other farmers just like me. And with no means to provide, I would have no other choice but to shoot my family. When people look at me, they say, hey, it's common sense to grow marijuana. Well, I look them right in the eye and I say, common sense ain't American to me.
Paid for by the Synthetic Fiber Industry, National Alcohol Lobby, the American Pharmaceutical Political Fund, and the Association to Keep Nonviolent Marijuana Offenders in Jail.
I'm smoking pot.
Didn't you always wonder where they grow that stuff that you read in the back of High Times magazine, the so-called legal buds? Well, I guess now we know. That's a sketch from the movie Totally Baked that we're promoting today here on the Daily Audio Stash. Today, April 22nd, is the day you can get this DVD, Totally Baked. You can also get it online at totallybakedmovie.com. Enter the promo code HI for a 25% discount. The movie's got sketches like that, and it's also got some stand-up comedy. Here's a couple of samples.
So my roommate is also a stoner. He likes to go to places where weed is a plentiful and then mail it to himself, where it's less plentiful. I'm not saying you should do that, but if you do, don't put your own name on the package. And don't put your roommate's name either. That's bullshit. And if you're going to make up a name, be careful the name that you make up, all right? Smuggly McWeed.
So Jesus says to God, man, I'm fried, I'm beat, I am whooped. God says, well, take a vacation, go down to Earth for a while. All right, Jesus goes down to Earth, he's hitchhiking, gets a ride with a trucker, gets in a cab. They're going down the road. Trucker says, man, it's a little warm in here. I got some Poland Spring on ice. Cold bottle of water? That sounds good. A few miles down the road, the trucker says, you hungry? Jesus says, I could eat. My wife makes fantastic tuna fish, tuna on rye, lettuce, tomato, a little salt, pepper. Hey, you in? Sounds good. Sure, I'll give you half. Your wife makes excellent tuna fish. What'd I tell you? A few miles down the road, the trucker says, you want to smoke a joint? And Jesus is like, I'm on vacation. Trucker takes out a joint, sparks it up. You don't know who I am, do you? Trucker says, no. He says, I'm Jesus Christ. I'm the Lord, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The trucker says, that's some good shit, ain't it?
We're joined today by Craig Shoemaker, who's the producer of a new movie coming out called Totally Baked. It's coming out on DVD April 22nd, and it looks to be a great comedy for all of the cannabis community. So, Craig, thank you for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash.
You are welcome. I mean, it's a shame we're 2 days late on the 420, but you can still get it ahead of time.
That's right. That's right. And so this will be coming out on the 22nd, and looking at my calendar, that's Tuesday, the 22nd. So everybody get to your DVD stores. Is this available on Netflix as well?
It's available pretty much everywhere. You go to totallybakedmovie.com and you can sort of get a trailer and get an idea of what it's about. And I believe you can pre-order it and maybe even get in on time for 420.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
Now, Craig, an interesting aside on this. You're the producer of this movie, Totally Baked. I'm looking at the DVD cover. There's a fine-looking young woman in a marijuana bikini,
yeah,
with a marijuana U.S. flag behind her. And the oddest thing is that you don't use cannabis at all.
I do not. I used to for many years. And I, what it does for me is it doesn't do what it does for most people. But people have said, well, why would you write a marijuana movie if you don't smoke marijuana?
Right.
And to that I say there are plenty of people that they write war movies and have never shot a gun, or gangster movies and have never been in a gang.
Right.
But this is one thing I do have experience with. It all spawned from my son. I was my 7-year-old Justin. I was singing that song. I'm a Joker smoker, midnight toker. You know Steve Miller.
Yeah.
One of my favorite all time songs. And he said, "Dad, what's a toker?" And I said, "Well, it's someone that smokes pot." And then he went into the kitchen, he pulled out a pot, and he goes, "How do you smoke this?" And I said, "Well, it's actually marijuana that they smoke." He says, "What's marijuana? And did you ever smoke?" And this is my answer to him, is I wrote this movie, and I did all the research, not that kind of research.
Right.
I've done that before. But I did all the research into, well, why can't I talk to my child about this? And why is it illegal? Why is it so demonized? And what turned out was a movie that I think is really, it started off as a potumentary, and we turned it into a real film that we explore all elements of marijuana, but you will see for yourself that obviously you know this, all the hypocrisies and why it's illegal, and we go through this bawdy, irreverent journey on showing how silly it is and how hypocritical it is that it is illegal and criminalized.
Well, I saw that you showed this at the Austin Film Festival. It looks like you got some great reviews from that film festival.
Yeah, well, everything's been a great review so far. New York Times just reviewed it, and we're real excited about it. I'm excited about it because I hope that we can help some of these laws change, which I do believe there is a transformation taking place, obviously, with this administration. Once this is over, I think that there's some change about. And one of the things I really got from this is how important it is to approach this in an adult way, not a protesting way, but we try to show in a fun way that how silly it is that alcohol can be legal and how many deaths have happened from alcohol and even overeating and so forth, and how few, if any, deaths happen from marijuana. We take actual statistics. We talk about Jefferson and Franklin growing the stuff. And, you know, one of the quotes we say is Jefferson says, "Some of my finest hours have been spent on my back veranda smoking hemp and staring as far as my eye can see." And it was interesting to do this research and find out exactly why it is demonized, and I'm sure you know all about that, and how corporate greed has entered into it, and we offer some solutions as well.
So it's not just a plain old stoner comedy, so to speak. It's actually educational, informative to some people that might not know these things.
That's exactly right. Well, we hope we do it in a stoner comedy way, but it is definitely really silly and has a lot of... it's got my son. The irony is, my 7-year-old can't watch the movie. We have a number of nude women, and because that happens sometimes when you get stoned, there's nudity.
Not nearly often enough.
We don't have the right stuff, I guess.
Maybe.
But yeah, I mean, it's and we don't just take this one-sided approach. You know, we talk about we have a scene that you know, I used to, you know, quite frankly, I'd get paranoid, and then we have a silly scene. It was written that I did it. I actually wrote it on the fly. You know, John Oates of Hall and Oates.
Right.
Well, he's a fan of my comedy, and he looked me up, and we became. Well, I actually met him while we were filming. I went to a concert of his, and you know, he said, "You're welcome to come backstage." And so I met him backstage. I said, "Hey, I'll write you in a part." And so I wrote this part. We have this this whole through line where this medical. Where this debate team, college debate team, gets held hostage by medical marijuana activists
okay.
on the lam, who have taken all this cannabis and this G14, and anyway, medical marijuana, and they teach these debaters these lessons about who end up not being able to debate and understanding exactly where the marijuana policies are coming from. So we wrote Oates in there where they get stoned. The one debater, he goes, "Oh man, I'm freaking out. I think I see Hall and Oates." And it's me with a woman's head up dangling above me, so I can have Hall's long blonde hair and Oates, because we couldn't afford a wig on the spot. And so he says, "I think I see Hall and Oates," and we're going, "He's a man eater." We're kind of playing with him. So it's really silly like that, and it was done, you know, on a shoestring budget, no pun intended, with my name Shoestring, and we're trying this grassroots campaign, and Universal picked this up, and it's we even got into Walmart.
Wow, into what? Not with that cover on the DVD.
No, they changed the cover a little bit. She's in a regular bikini.
I was going to say.
They might have thought they bought a cooking film. They weren't totally baked. I'm not really sure what happened there, but they bought 34,000 copies, so we're pretty
happy. Wow. Well, that's excellent. And the other thing that's good to see here is that, Oates is not the only musical influence on this movie. You've got music from AC/DC's Brian Johnson on this DVD.
And Cliff Williams, the bass player.
Oh, right.
Actually, this also told me how good the film is. I sent it to Brian's, an old friend of mine. He actually sang at my wedding.
Oh, wow.
AC/DC at my wedding. You put your right foot in! Anyway, which was a big kick for the older aunts and uncles. By the way, my grandmother smokes and grows reefer, so she did a couple bong hits with Brian Johnson.
Oh, wow.
So that's a true story. Anyway, Brian, he saw the film, and he flipped for it, and he has really tough taste. He's one of the smartest guys I've ever met. I've known him about 25 years. And he loved it so much, he said, "My son, I want to get involved." And he wrote three original songs for it, which AC/DC hasn't come out with anything in about 8-9 years. They're recording now, but they haven't come out with anything. So we basically have half of AC/DC on these tracks, and he's now executive producer, too. He really believes in the film.
Wow. Now, who else do you have involved in the film? I saw a couple names, Jackie the Joke Man and Doug Benson. We've spoken to him a few times.
Sure, yeah. Well, we have interspersed throughout it. It's a whole potpourri. what we did was I wanted to bring back Kentucky Fried Movie.
Yeah. Now, our younger listeners won't know what we're talking about when we talk about Kentucky Fried Movie. But
what do you mean, our younger listeners? You know what? They do have... it's on DVD.
go rent Kentucky Fried Movie, folks, so you can know what we're talking about.
I'm not old enough to have been there for Gone with the Wind, but I certainly watched the movie. I think that a lot of kids have seen it.
I hope so.
It's a great movie, and so are the Cheech and Chong movies. And by the way, Bamboo Rolling Papers from those days, they sponsored this movie.
Oh, wow.
And I think that there's some giveaways if you go to totallybakedmovie.com of rolling papers and T-shirts and stuff like that. But we got a lot of people involved. Anyway, the comedians are interspersed throughout. Like Kentucky Fried Movie, you do phony commercials and phony TV shows. We have fundamentalist girls going wild. They're high on the hookah. Really, really silly stuff. But it all makes the point.
Yeah.
We make the point about, you know, cancer patients and how silly this is and ridiculous that, you know, they can't get this. The greatest form of medication, you know, can grow in our backyard.
Yeah. Now, speaking of the website address, once again...
TotallyBakedMovie.com, and you can actually, I think you can hear Brian's song that's in it. I got to see him do it in concert, which was a lot of fun. I was in Atlantic City last year, and my son Justin, again the same boy, and you know, he was 8 at the time, And so it's basically his Uncle Brian, and he gets out and Deep Purple and stuff like that was on. Justin was fine. Then when AC/DC came out, it was so loud, Justin was on the floor going, "Daddy, tell Uncle Brian to turn it down. My lungs hurt."
Lungs hurt.
On the floor. But Uncle Brian announced the movie and did one of the songs, and I got to hear the whole audience, thousands of people going, "Who phoned the law?"
Oh, that's
one
excellent.
One of the songs was, "Who phoned the law?" And it's just really great stuff, and it's just, and it's AC/DC at their best, and you know, Chase the Tail, that's another song on there. It's just it's great stuff. I mean, musically, I'm so happy with the music throughout. What we did this for, and I paid for the movie, by the way.
Oh wow!
Me and the guy that does my trees, we paid for the movie because we really believe in it, and we believe in the humor of it as well, because humor is just so important in our society and so undervalued. And I just think it's a great way to get make a point to people instead of, you know, screaming at the enemy. You know, I think this is a nice way to get in.
I totally agree with that. And the website is www.totallybakedmovie.com. We'll have a link to that up on our blog at stash.normal.org. And really good news about this is that 10% of all the direct sales through the website is being donated to Normal.
That's correct. And I think that... Yeah, we did that intentionally because, like I said, I'm transformed now. Not that I smoke pot, because, like I said, it doesn't really do well with me, and that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with it. It's just that it's not for me, you know. Just it, but I do think, I know now that it should be at the very least decriminalized and at the most legalized. And hey, well, hell, why not tax it?
Yeah, relax it and tax it.
It could be our number one crop. It was at one time.
And it will be again. America's roots are hemp roots, and thank you for putting together a movie that's going to show people that. I agree with you. You know, the comedy is a very important weapon in this fight. You can break through people's walls of ignorance and misunderstanding by just getting them to laugh at you.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, quite frankly, I make a good spokesperson for this because I'm not what they consider, you know, a pothead or a slacker, you know, and that's, you know, this is how that element thinks. That's how they think is, you know, and they don't listen to the message, and the message is very clear of just how silly and greedy this all is, you know, that it's criminalized like this and demonized. And it's just ridiculous. It's the opposite of reefer madness.
Yes.
You know, we do it in a mad and crazy way of, you know, just lightening people up. We need to lighten up a lot more in our society. You know, I'm kind of tired of the news that, you know, Fox News and CNN with that crawl that comes across. Here's some stuff that will scare you today. You know, orange alert, hostages, don't eat spinach. Don't you think they should have jokes coming across the screen? You look up, you see two Jews walking to a bar.
No.
Watch the joke unfold. The world would be a better place. I think the world would be a better place if they all got stoned together.
Oh, I can toke to that.
I'm also in the movie, by the way. I play a guy you can't see unless you're high.
Okay. Well, I will
keep an eye out for that. It's a very, very funny movie, and I hope you all get it. And like I said, that we give a percentage to Normal.
Right on, man. Right on. Thank you. And well, I will test that out. I'll see if I can see you in the movie.
All right. I appreciate it.
Well, Craig, thank you for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash. Craig Shoemaker is the producer of the new movie, Totally Baked. You can get it on Tuesday, April 22nd at your DVD stores. Thanks, Craig. Good day. All right, one more funny clip from a movie, Totally Baked. This is the Martha Stewart parody, How to Cook Up a Drug Overdose. Enjoy.
Today I'll be addressing some of your letters about the measurements we deal with on the show. Now, if you're preparing an overdose using Schedule I drugs, it's not so much the ingredients, but the amounts you want to be mindful of. Feast your eyes on these delicious spices of life. These are for my own personal canned preserves. Now, if you want to create a memorable barbecue overdose of cocaine, we always say less than a pinch will do the trick. An overdose can call for as little as 25 milligrams. Toot! A good way to remember is to think of a cornflake. Mmm. Now, I know some of you have tried overdose recipes using brown sugar. Not that kind of brown sugar. This kind of brown sugar. Now, this is my own homegrown Afghani heroin, but you can use black tar, China white, or some brown sugar from your local skag dealer. Now that's a good thing. Remember, a little goes a long way when you're chasing the dragon. An overdose can come as cheaply as 80 milligrams. Now, remember, a good way to eyeball this is to look at the markings on a syringe. It's equal to about the weight of half a peanut. I like to put a little H in anything. I could have it by itself or with a little melted butter on movie night. Oh, I'm a heroin junkie. Remember, our federal government reserves Schedule 1 for the most toxic, illegal drugs. One would think with these substances that an overdose was easy to prepare. That's why I think this last ingredient shouldn't be in here at all. For a marijuana overdose, we'd need to prepare over 1,500 pounds of marijuana and serve it smoked in under 15 minutes. Now that would be a fatty. In fact, that's enough marijuana to equal the weight of these 7 gorgeous hunks of man meat from the DEA. Or about 250,000 pot brownies. Oh, never mind the overdose. That would be murder on the thighs. No es bueno. Now, with portions that size, marijuana just doesn't seem as dangerous as these other Schedule 1 drugs. But I'm sure they have a reason. I'm not one to question things, especially not our government. That would make me a traitor. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with a cannabis quote from John McCart, a Canadian justice, who said, quote, "Cannabis is not an addictive substance, does not cause amotivational syndrome, and health-related costs of cannabis use are negligible when compared to the costs attributable to tobacco and alcohol consumption," end quote. That's what we're trying to remind everyone here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash. It doesn't matter what you think of marijuana smoking, the policy that we have about it is counterproductive. It's time to end adult marijuana prohibition. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow with more Stash and an interview with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. And until that time, take care of each other, tokers.